Well, this weekend we have our two-year-old grandson George staying with us. And I'm always amazed when watching him to see how much we can be taught by children. When George was first beginning to communicate, whenever he did anything wrong, he would say, "Uh-oh." If you took your eyes off him for a second, he would disappear and then come back into the room, pointing to where he'd just been and say, "Uh-oh." We knew that the "uh-oh" and the pointing could mean a variety of things. It could mean, "Come and look in the kitchen where I've tipped a box of breakfast cereal all over the floor." Or it could mean, "Come and look at the crayon marks I've put on your wall." Or it could mean, "Come and look at the earth from the plant pot I've rearranged on your carpet." To be fair, George would point and say, "Uh-oh," if anyone dropped or smashed something as well. So we can all have our "uh-oh" moments. Well, this is the first Sunday of Lent, and I think Lent can be seen as a bit of an "uh-oh" time of year. We begin with Ash Wednesday, often with Bible readings that invite us to turn away from all that is not life-giving and to turn back to God. It's a time of penitence and repentance when we ask ourselves, how much of my heart is turned towards God? It's a time to come clean before God about our "uh-oh" moments, to try to point away from those things that weigh us down and point towards God. I think that's easy to say and not necessarily very easy for us to do. We are human after all. We mess up. We do make mistakes. And it's here that our two readings may help us, because I think we often have to go back to what is going on before the "uh-oh" moment occurs. And that moment is in the tricky, challenging land called temptation. Temptation will often reach us in the places where our weaknesses are. This week, Theresa May, our Prime Minister, has confessed publicly to a weakness for salt and vinegar crisps and has given them up for Lent. I wonder if she, over the next 6 weeks, will be tempted to eat them. Interestingly, her announcement about the crisps has had given her an opportunity to speak of her Christian faith. So the root meaning of the word temptation is that it tests a person. Temptation tests our character. It can often be seen as negative, but there are positives there too. It can increase our self-awareness as we learn about ourselves. It can be part of our formation. Temptation can come from the external in the form of a tempter, or the internal in the form of our thoughts and what drives us. Temptation can be a true learning opportunity. It can grow us and give us a clearer sense of direction, although that path may not be an easy one. It's again a reminder of our Lenten journey to turn our hearts towards God, because he is the one who can help us when we are tempted. Oscar Wilde once wrote, "I can resist anything except temptation." And that takes us back to our readings once again. In the Old Testament passage that Gillian read for us, we have Adam and Eve before their "uh-oh" moment. They are in the Garden of Eden. Garden implies a sense of spaciousness and pleasure and peace, and Eden means delight. Their world is a good and fruitful place. And then along comes temptation in the form of a serpent playing word games with Eve. "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" the serpent says craftily. Of course, we know the rest. The woman eats the fruit, Adam eats the fruit, and everything changes. Our twin daughters, throughout their childhood, would often blame each other for whatever happened, and we would joke that we should each get them a T-shirt that said, "She did it." Well, I think the same applies to Adam and Eve here. When God questions them, they both blame the other. Neither of them comes clean before him. They realise their nakedness and their shame, and they make fig leaf garments to cover themselves. Which takes us back to Lent. For this is a time to stand before God in our nakedness, to uncover ourselves, to stop hiding, and to come out from behind the things that get in the way of our relationship with him, the distractions, the excuses. And that is a tough place to be. It means that we have to look at ourselves in the mirror with all the lumps and bumps and the bits that we'd rather nobody else saw. It makes us vulnerable. It shows our weaknesses. It shows up the things that tempt us. We all have them, but if we are honest with ourselves and with God, we can move forward in so many ways in our relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves. And when we turn to our gospel reading, we look at Jesus and how he is tempted. When Jesus is tempted, he holds on to God. And it's interesting to see how those temptations unfold. Various theologians suggest that the temptations start at ground level and gradually rise to higher ground. The basic temptation, to turn stones into bread, that is, to be self-sufficient, begins on the ground in the desert. The second temptation, for Jesus to throw himself from a high place to the ground, is challenging God's protection and provision, and it takes place on a pinnacle of the temple. The third temptation, to have worldly power, involves idolatry, challenges worshipping God, and takes place on a high mountain. If we think about the context of our own challenges and temptations, these temptations that Jesus faces reflect that nothing is too basic, too monumental, or too mountainous for us to take to God. Jesus is sometimes referred to as the second Adam. The first Adam was tempted and succumbed. The second Adam has come to put things right, to love, to guide, and to support us when we're tempted to do something or say something that we know is wrong, or when we're tempted to give up because life is just too tough. Jesus knows that life can be tough, and he knows what it is to be tempted. I wonder if something is tempting any of us at the moment. If there's something in particular that's getting in the way between us and God. If we can allow our challenges, our temptations to be gathered up by Jesus, then our minds can be clearer, freer. This Lent, for example, we could give up beating ourselves up and in the space that it leaves, allow time with and for God. We can take our temptations to him and pray for help in that safe space. We can be honest and take our uh-oh moments to him and leave them there. As the Archdeacon of Dorchester, Judy French, wrote in the Diocesan E-News this week, "We will be tempted away from God, but we can keep on coming back. God is full of love and grace and mercy. Thank God for that. Amen."